The Vox Markets Podcast.
It's 12 o'clock, just about. This is Taking Stock. It's, what is it? It's the 5th of December, ladies and gentlemen, 2023. Johnny Boyce here in his puffer jacket. You feeling the cold, John?
Yeah, it's worse. It's a bit warm, it has been. But
it was the weekend. God,
no, it's crazy. Horrendous.
Yeah. I think I took my son some football training on Saturday. He didn't get above minus one. Nuts. And he came off about 10 minutes before the end and said, I can't do this anymore. It's too cold. I said, well, the kids are fine. He said, I was in goal. So it's freezing. Yeah, it's it's yesterday. Rained all day with us and a bit warmer, but we got loads of rain. I prefer cold than rain, to be honest. Anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome along. Thanks for joining. By the way, if you like the content of this, hit that thumbs up button. If you don't, then just leave us, okay? But if you could do, subscribe to the channel. Have to get that magic round number 5,000 by year end. In fact, I got a comment on this, John, earlier. What was it? Mark, nice comment, actually, saying, hi, Justin. In fact, we had a nice comment, John, after Friday, after you. Said, oh, it's nice to have John back on. He speaks some sense. And then he came back with, in fact, he speaks a lot of sense.
That's all right. No, I was very, very, very grateful. Very nice. Thank you.
Anyway, this is Mark. He says, I hope you count the 5,000 when you include everyone that listens after hours on Spotify. Hope the podcast continues. Feel like I've learned so much from John and Paul over the last few months. Just a shame I didn't start listening before I started investing. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's always it doesn't matter how experienced you are investing. It's always a learning curve, John.
It is.
Companies and just it always go wrong, you know?
It is. I mean, I was at the Investors Chronicle. Well, I've worked in the city for a long, long time, you know, 20 years. And you know, the Investors Chronicle, we weren't really allowed to direct, you know, invest directly in stocks and shares. It was very difficult to do that. So, you know, our money went through corporate pensions, which have actually been quite good. But, you know, despite all of that, actually, once I left the Investors Chronicle, started investing my own money, you know, the theory and the practice are still very, very different things. The moment you actually pull the trigger with real money, it's a very different thing than everything you've ever learned, everything you've ever heard, everything you've ever written. You know,
it's true. Because once you, I've said this to many people, I said, you know, do your due diligence before investing, because once you put money in, you are subjective. You may not think you are, but even if a release comes out that's a little bit negative, it can turn your mind. You can become a confirmation bias because you've got money and you don't want a bad release from a company you invest in. So you'll try and find the positives rather than look at the negatives. So it's very easy to be objective before you invest in a company. But as soon as you're invested, put your cash in there, your hard-earned cash, you straight away turn to becoming a bias in a way.
But that's called the endowment effect, that you value something more highly because you own it.
Hey, look, John, BT Group.
I know.
And John's always up. Top of the FTSE 100 rises today. Any news out on them or not? Or just rallying? What's going on there?
No, it's been rallying for a few days, actually. I've looked. I couldn't see anything specifically going on. I said there was this bit of news the other day. It was in the Autumn Statement about CapEx, the tax treatment of capital expenditure, which benefits BT greatly. It's a relief that's been made permanent, and obviously they've got a huge amount of capital expenditure to do on rolling out this full fibre network.
Okay,
it's looking nice.
Look at that chart there, right? So you've got the previous sort of support there, and they've broke down. Then new support here that becomes resistant. Broken above that, nicely heading towards 200 moving average. That's not a bad little recovery there. Okay, but just looking at the indices, though, FTSE's down 0.66%. BT's top riser. In fact, Airtel Africa is also up there, another sort of telecoms company, but obviously not in the UK. A lot of utilities companies, the Severn Trent, all that stuff. I did see that one of the house builders today got an alert on the chart. I think it was either one of the biggest would be Bellway or Barrett, but a 52-week high. We'll have a look at that. But AIM is down a smidge. We need to stay here, though. I mean, it can't roll over. It's had a little rally, and now it's almost consolidating a bit. It doesn't want to go above 710 again. It needs to sort of, you know, bump along there and take another leg up. That's what I'm hoping for. Mm. But what was it? Is it Bellway? Maybe it's Bellway, that which is very telling, a house builder. Or maybe no, it wasn't that. Barrett? B-Dev? Let's look.
B-Dev.
Yeah, there we are.
Barrett's a better house builder. Business.
Look at that. That's a 52-week high in a house builder. We were at like interest rates an all-time high over the last 40 years. And so you could say, you know, like I said, you know, the market and the economy, you know, don't sort of run in sync. You know.
Yeah, I mean, remember what we were talking about on Friday when I was talking about the house builders and how, you know, they're actually you know, still very, very highly cash generative. And I've been talking to an investment trust manager, and that's a guy called Gary Channon of Investment Trust. And he, one of their big holders is Barrett. Barrett is the house builder that they get their exposure through.
That was a previous high there back in May 2023 at five pence, and that is 5.23. So it's going well there. Here's a question. Comment there. By all means, you know, hit that comment, get the comments in, join in the fun. We're live. You can chat with us. That's the whole point. Michael S., your opinion, please. When you guys talk about percentages in cash, funds, individual stocks, etc., I have 30 years in company pensions, which I don't really have that much control over. Mm. Should I be factoring this into my own percentages? So far, I've largely ignored this, but perhaps I should be?
I think in a sense you should, because you know, your pension pots, and this is what I do, my corporate pension pots, which is where the vast majority of my money is, are fully invested. Mm. And they're, you know, the investments are made by the people managing those schemes, and my private pot is, you know, the where I hold the most cash. That's where the cash is sitting undeployed. But the cash, you know, your overall allocation is everything. And so you know, that is where, you know, the proportion in each different type of asset matters. So yes, you should.
I agree.
And you're thinking, you know, and you would find that you're far less, you know, in cash than you may think, looking at the bit you can invest yourself, as I am.
Yeah. And I would suggest, Michael, here's a bit of a homework for you and everyone watching right now, right, or listening on the podcast. Treat yourself, right, like a company. Now, you know, a company that is, you know, financial position, it's a balance sheet, essentially. Try and do that with your own finances, right? List all your assets, list all your liabilities, and see what you have. Do you have net assets, net liabilities? It's a very handy, it doesn't have to be that much detail, but basically, you know, even down to your house, you know, because your house is an asset. You know, is it mortgage free? If not, if it's got a mortgage, but that's on the liabilities bit, but then you have equity in that. So try and work out that, and you can see what your worth is. And and you can look, you know, do some research on a company, just go to a, in fact, look at a company's, you know, financial results, go down, see how they do it, but not that much detail. But it's almost handy to do that a little bit, because it helps you learn as well about balance sheets and all that stuff, and understand what assets are and what liabilities are, all that kind of stuff. And it just helps. I mean, it's a good way to mess around with a spreadsheet and look at it. It's a bit anarchy, but I you know, it's quite interesting, actually. Okay, let's have a look. We did talk about sort of I mentioned Bitcoin and gold are rallying, and in fact Bitcoin's rallied a bit further than gold had a pullback, but it did spike to that 2100 level, which is not done before. In fact, where is gold today? And and there was a comment from yesterday. This is Malcolm said, I hold approximately 15% gold in my SIP in the form of an iShares ETF. Over the last 2 years, it has been worth its weight in gold. Yeah, so that's good there. And also someone says, I know it's not your area, but maybe you should throw a few videos on Tesla or Apple to get views. Really? Would that get any views? Would be a shame to see your channel disappear. Mm. There we are. Well, hit the subscribe button. There we are.
No, gold, I've always liked it. You know, gold is good. It's ballast. You know, gold is never going to grow in a way that, you know, an equity has the potential to grow. This is coming, you know, but this is a Buffett comment. You know, gold is essentially an inert asset. Yes, it does rise, but it doesn't compound in the way that, you know, investing in equities can compound and create growth out of the money invested in them. But it's good portfolio ballast. It is,
look at that there. I did see someone on X yesterday say, whenever gold sort of spike up like that, it basically pulls back, and it's not good. It pulls back quite a bit. So unlike something like Bitcoin, which spikes up and then carries on, for some reason, gold doesn't tend to do that. Like you see there, previous spikes has had, it does come back down. Even though this is the largest spike it's had ever, you know, it's, like I said, it went up to, if you look at that, it went up to, just over 21.51 there. It's come back. It does tend to do that.
So yeah, mainly you know, those are higher highs, aren't they? You know,
but have you seen before, when it's, if you look at the last, this is from 2020, so it hit after the great financial crisis, and you know, everything eased and money, the value of money came down, but it's gold right like hell from 2009 upwards, and then it hit sort of this area, just shy of 21, came back down, tried to do it again in March, tried to do it again in May 23. It has spiked above that, but now this is where we are. We're back down at 21.42. Or 2042, there we are.
Yeah.
So today, John, I've said you know, people say cash is king, cash is king, cash is king, and your cash. And it's true, in these markets, more than ever, you need cash. And I've said today, there's a company just released some news today, and I said, if cash is king, then this small cap is British royalty. And can you guess the company I'm talking about, John?
Well, I don't need to guess, you told me already.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So here we are. Oxford Metrics, OMG, came out with results. Market cap, 118 million. Cash, 64.8 million. Some of that's held in managed funds, sort of earning interest. But the numbers are good as well. I mean, look at that. Revenue, 44.2, up, you know, 53%. Adjusted profit, up 151%. All good numbers, but cash, net cash, 64. They've got to do something with that. I mean, I suppose
they made an acquisition recently, didn't they?
Yeah, I suppose, they did. But I suppose it's earning money anyway. You know, on the myth they're holding it in.
They've got new management in this. They've got a new chief exec. They did buy very recently a company, Industrial Vision Systems, which took them into sort of an adjacent area for sort of this. You know, the thing they do, which is sort of image-led, how to describe it? It's just clever stuff with video, basically.
Yeah, video, all that sort of precision.
This took them into the sort of industrial applications away from the sort of leisure and healthcare applications that they'd been in before. So they are putting that money to use. And I mean, it's just a very good company. I guess it didn't move today, interestingly.
No, well, I think it's still on a PE about, looking at this, a PE about 20, isn't it? So even though a lot of cash, of course, you know, that adds to this. So it's not cheap. But you can see there they have a cracking run from literally, it's in a sort of range at the moment. Range has been very messy. And like I said, from, you know, 2014, look at that. They went from 27 pence up to sort of 1 to sort of 25. And now we're in this massive range. It is a big range, but it goes up and tends to go up and down. It's a bit like gold, that price there. It goes up there, back down, up, down. So it needs, like I said, three states of a chart is uptrend, downtrend, and range. And that seems to be in a range a little bit. So maybe frustrating for shareholders. But it's one of those companies where they're profitable, they've got a tumbler of cash, and they seem to be doing quite well. So if you're holding that company, I think a bit of patience maybe, because like I said, they can buy more growth if they need to acquire it. But then, you know, there's never any worries about financing here, and they're profitable. So it's a very decent company, British tech. I like that. So
it's a great company.
Let's have a look at front page of Vox here. Water Intelligent continues to grow margins. Yeah, a bit of an update from those. I know.
Yeah, again. What did we have? It was it trading? I can't remember what it was. Trading update or results?
Trading update.
Unmoved. You know, this is sort of leak detection stuff, but mainly out in the US.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's sort of plodding along, basically, which is why I think there wasn't really a lot of movement, not a lot of excitement today on this one.
No, yeah. Revenue increased by 6%, 64.4 million. This is 71 million market cap, I think. Franchise royalty, flat, 5.8.
That's because one of the reasons for that is because it's buying its franchises back, isn't it?
So, all right.
So that obviously has impacted that. But that will sort of compound over time, that growth, you know, buying those franchises back, the growth will come into its sort of own operations. And look, cash equivalent, strong.
Yeah, and nice margins are nicely improving. That's what you want to see. Going the right there. They do have bank debt of 15.3 million. But there we are. So that's not a huge amount.
They do have
a net debt position. That's right. They do have a net debt position, I think. Let's look at the chart. It did have a little rally recently. I mean, maybe in anticipation of some news, but a little rally. I did put this on the chart for Paul. I said, that's what I see happening here, Paul. It's rally. You normally get this cup and after a sort of significant sort of bounce to the bottom, you can get this sort of what's called cup and handle formation where, you know, the sellers will come in, dries up, and then rallies again on some news because those are decent numbers there. So, you know, it's not going backwards, it's going forwards, but it's come off a lot. Look at that from the bull market. Of 14 quid a share, pretty much, down to 4 quid, down to three quid. So a lot of stocks are this. I tell you what, another one I'm looking at, I'm quite interested in, came out today.
There he is.
Oh, sorry. There we are, John. I was talking to myself then, but 5 minutes, I didn't realise you were still there.
I didn't go anywhere.
I think it was my internet did that. It's the first time this ever happened.
Oh, dear.
I was really just going out to... Premier Mighton.
Premier Mighton. Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes. All right, there we are. Yeah, so I couldn't, I couldn't load myself. I'm some, oh, hang on. I'm still having problems loading stuff here. But if anyway, can you see
Premier Martin? I had a look at them today. So the it's basically a fun group. Shares down 5%. This whole sector is struggling still.
I think my internet's rebooting. That's a trouble. Sorry, I'm stuck here.
But hang on, your internet can't be rebooting because you're.
Oh, can you hear me?
See you.
Sorry. Let me just get this up. All right. I don't know what's happening. I'm getting a whirring wheel on my computer here. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if my wife is messing around with the internet in the house. Maybe
your kids playing some games somewhere while they're at school.
I can't seem to get anything up here on the thing. Anyway, the Premier might. Can I get another chart? Let's have a look. There's a chart. Let me show the chart there. Yeah, down 5%, but literally. They got plenty of cash. They are still profitable, about 5 million, like you said. But, I think there's a lot of value in some of these, wealth managers, asset managers, because most of them have been hammered, you know. They're still sort of making money. Not as much as they were last year, of course, or the year before. But that'll turn with the market, won't it? You know, you said before, double leverage, magnifying, your returns there.
You would have thought so. And you've got other sort of specialist asset managers out there, Impacts, Asset Management, Lion Trust. Polar Capital, and they're all looking the same. They're all those charts are all looking a bit grim, and I guess that reflects the sort of antipathy towards markets generally, and the fact that they've seen outflows, a number of them. But yeah, it is a question of whether that sell off is overdone. I guess there is just a big worry as well that there will continue to be pressure on fees from the sort of traditional asset management model.
Yeah, absolutely. We did sort of touch, like I said, touch on Bitcoin and gold yesterday, and saying which would you go for. Elsin said, "Have you ever read the Bitcoin white paper, Justin?" No. What do I want to do that for? I read like detective novels at night, and that's fine. I know you're constantly asking what is the value of property of crypto, and reading that would give you a guess. Well, give us a summary, Elsin. I'm not into it. I'm not into Bitcoin. But no, I did say yesterday, by the way. In fact, exactly what John said a while back. I said, you can't value, obviously, Bitcoin on traditional valuation metrics. And if people use it, if there's people trading it, then that ascribes a value to it, doesn't it? If it's not used, then it's no value. So it's like anything, pretty much. It's like gold. We talk about gold, saying gold is a shiny metal. It's not as well used as copper. It's not as useful as copper. But for some reason, it's more valuable than copper. Why? Essentially, because it's shiny. It looks nicer.
Rarity. Rarity. Yeah. Relative rarity, history. Crypto generally. Bitcoin has the potential to be a currency. Crypto generally, there are a lot of use cases in various parts of the sort of crypto blockchain industry. So yeah, it shouldn't be dismissed out of hand. And it's not something I would invest in right now. In the same way, I don't invest in I don't trade currencies. But it's definitely there's something there. For sure.
Well, listen, Bitcoin hasn't been hacked in like 15 years. Obviously, all the platforms it's on has pretty much, or they've been run by scam artists. But in fact, it's worth listening to Sam Bankman-Fried as a novel on him by Michael Lewis. I can't think of what it's called now, but I get it free with sort of Spotify. But it's very good. Just how we just blatantly run that place like a fund center, it's a FX currency, the sort of platform is on. I'm having a problem with my internet here. I can't get Vox. I can't get anything. All I can see, John, is your pretty face. I'll do some of the comments. Steve says, JP Morgan have suggested BT shares could double in 2024.
Yeah, I haven't seen that upgrade. We did publish some of these through the site. No, there was a story. I've lost it. But it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But that's nice to know. That would be good. That would.
In fact, I think I've got my internet back a little bit here. Maybe you covered. Let's have a look. Can I see anything? It's working here. Oh, we are. I'll share. Just going backwards. Premier Martin down 5%. But like I said, closing assets obviously are down. Assets under management down. Net outflows of 1.1 billion pretty much a year.
Yeah.
Adjusted profit of about 15 million. Profit was close to 6 million, cash was 37 million. And if you look at the net asset value, you scroll down here, where is it? The balance sheet. So net assets are 121 million, and it's like a 90 million market cap, you know. So, and I said, and I know they sort of feature in the. I was laughing at this when my internet went down. So look at Lionel Richie, kind of 2024, and the internet went down. I thought that was, maybe he's to blame. But anyway, let's have a look on the front page of Vox here. What we got here? So we got 80 Energy secures 2 million for Project Phoenix, JV partner there. Fintel, have you read of that? Acquires Synaptic Software.
Yeah, I spoke to Matt Timmins, Fintel joint chief exec, a couple of weeks ago now, and it was all about M&A and plans for M&A, and you know, there are aspirations to build this, you know, basically end-to-end solution for the retail financial advice industry, and it's just another you know, bit in the foundations of doing that. And Fintel is a great company. It's a great company. You know, it's funded this out of its own cash. You know, it really is sort of the go-to now in its space, and there's more functionality that it can add on. Talking about specialist asset managers, I mean, this is in the same sort of ballpark. I'd rather have Fintel is the sort of picks and shovels of this industry.
It actually works
with those sort of companies to help them make sure they're developing the right offers for retail investors. It works with the supply chain to get those products out to market. And at the end of the day, you know, what it's doing is making sure that the end customer, you and I, the investor, get the best deal, which is, you know, a regulatory imperative.
Yeah.
And you know, that will always favour, you know, increasingly favour the better managers. So, you know, and I would suggest have an impact potentially on the fees of you know, fund groups. So I'd rather have Fintel than a Premier Mycelon, I have to say.
Yeah. Most followed today is Silver Bullet above Rolls Royce. Yes, come on, Silver Bullet. Angle, matter of fact. Look at this. Up 1900%. Yes.
It's often some kind of consolidation.
It's consolidation. Do you know what? There's a story about this. When they first joined the London Stock Exchange, apparently, diversified oil and gas, they were called. And they'd gone on energy now, but they realised they couldn't use that initials of that because it would just go be known as dog. So they went for something else. But news, by the way, Valrix, they've got a licensing deal here, which they're saying they've got a little bit of a payment up front. Their Val, what is it, 401? Just a little payment up front here, but it could be where the value could be up to 16 million plus royalties. So that's why that's running there. Yep. Let's have the Val chart, by the way. Valrix. Okay, it's down a trend, but it's had a little bit of rallies lately. Okay. I want to focus on some of the, any of the sort of rise on news, but there's, most read. Supply at Mecap. What is that? Who is reading that?
Yep, they're often up there.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, always incredible.
Helium One Global, one of the
Yeah, this is, they're basically, they need to raise money to drill. Down.
They've had a couple of problems with their technical problems. And now they're saying what? They're funding updates. They're saying they didn't raise money there. Is that right? What else? Gfinity again. It's literally collapsing. That is imploding somehow. I don't know what's going on there.
I'd say, looking at the movers, I haven't looked at this.
Go on.
Looking at the movers on the beach. Is that not up there? That was
on the beach. Good news today on the beach. Really impressive, I thought. And before, they were going backwards when I last looked at them, but I don't know what happened there. Maybe they had a lot of funds with clients sort of unwound now it's a decent thing. They're not cheap, but they're going forward.
They are cheap. They're less than 11 times forecast earnings. Less than 11. They've got cash in the bank, you know. Yeah, that's not 90... it's not client cash either. No.
But if you look at their last, I don't have the cash because last time, honestly, they raised like 65 million during for the downturn, and then they went into debt. Then I mean that's unwind. I think that's a lot of largely. I don't know what it is. The movements of cash. I think holding.
But the numbers, the numbers are great. I mean, you know, sales up 19%. And accelerating. So you know, the forward bookings look really, really strong. Even better than this summer.
Yeah.
And the other thing that, you know, and that's really translating to incredibly strong pre-tax profit growth, because the other thing they're also doing, and I guess this is helped along by the fact that there is so much pent-up demand, is they don't have to spend as much on marketing.
Yeah.
So you're seeing
that
a real,
last year. They spent a lot of last year on that
was,
Christmas.
That was the worry they had to really spend in a competitive market. But you know, there is so much demand now in travel that they can reduce their marketing without any impact on sales.
Broken up above the 200-day moving average there.
Dividend reinstated as of 2024. We talked about Jet 2 last week. We talked about travel. This is. I think it's good Texas beer at the moment. I think it's a lot of.
How long do you think? I mean, the forward bookers at that, but how long is it going to be positive for? Because I do think, even the markets, I think, will do well next year. I think the economy will struggle, but that's why the markets will do well, because they'll have to reduce interest rates. But I think the cost of living is going to start biting in, because I said most of the people, you know, after renewing the mortgages, they haven't done it yet. You know, they're 2-3 year mortgages, and so a lot of people still haven't done that.
But I think food
inflation is coming. Food inflation is not coming down. The inflation is, but the price is still going up slowly. It's not going to get any cheaper for people. You know, so
I think people. I think holidays. People will start to prioritise them. You know, we've had some rough years. I think, you know, I haven't been abroad since 2019. I just haven't got around.
Allowed.
It was because I didn't have a passport for a while.
Passport taken off him.
I do think that there is significant rebound. You know, this is going to last a long time, I think, the travel rebound. SSP, which runs concessions at stations and airports, food concessions, had some numbers out today. Again, incredibly strong. Incredibly strong.
4% for quite a lot for 1.7.
Big company. Big company. And yeah, we're seeing some really strong growth.
Both
in terms of, you know, sort of daily, you know, rail commuters and air travel.
Yeah, revenue up 38% pretty much. EBITDA up 103%. That's decent. Or in profit. So is it the final results a year? Okay. Profit, operating profit. Okay, 164 million. Why is that? Okay. What's the cheap? Is it not cheap, are they?
I don't know, actually. Let's have a look.
SSP.
Forecasts. The P is, I mean, they're not cheap, but.
No.
You know, this is a recovery. There is a lot of recovery to come in that one.
Yeah. Wow. Look at that. Oof. That was
COVID. The
COVID crash, and people have not gone traveling. It hasn't really recovered since then.
No.
Wow.
No.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Do you know what sector, you know, to avoid at the moment? But I'm keeping an eye on the best player in the sector. I think, I don't know how Tintra's rising. It's delisting. What are you doing?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
But Tiny Build come up with, again, I mean, this is following on from their last update, which we knew pretty much the last update they needed to raise money. And they said again that they probably do need to raise money. And in fact, that the main guy, the founder, they're saying, is looking, he's happy to back it to the company is exploring near-term options to strengthen the balance sheet. CEO and founder Alex Nikoprofitovic has confirmed support for the company and willingness to underwrite, subject to shareholder approval, a future equity fundraise for 10 million. So, you know, you got that. Do you know what I think should happen here? I think Team 17 should buy these. Team 17's got cash, they got no debt. I mean, the gaming industry, I mean, you know, Frontier Developments, these, and Team 17, all, I think the best player out of those three is Team 17. And I think if you're looking for a recovery play, it'll take a while.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think consolidation is, you know, sometimes you do have industries that need a bit of consolidation. The problem here is what are you buying? You're buying people. You know, you might be buying a little bit of intellectual property on the title, but as we talked about, you know, before, we talked about Eidos, you know, intellectual property has a shelf life.
Team 17's got a lot of games.
These are people-centric industries. You know, you're buying talent. Yeah. The value of a games company is in its development team. It's in its studios.
AI. Use AI.
Well, yeah, but you know these studios. Well, indeed. So then, why would you buy a studio that has, you know, a massive staff cost behind it? So you know, and I said in the past, this is where games companies are running into trouble. They've just got, you know, in the good times, they've overexpanded, and then they can't get games out quick enough, and they've got this massive overhead.
Yeah,
it's a complicated old business. I mean, and it ties into that, you know, coming out of COVID thing. Computer games companies were the things to buy in 2020 because everyone was stuck at home and there was nothing else to do except escape into some virtual fantasy world. Now, people don't want to do that at the moment. They've had enough.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, for me, if I'm going to make a play in this, I mean, I always go a watch on them, the fundamentals and technicals. But I'm, you know, on Team 17, I think it's, you know, they have come in unstuck a little bit. But good business is sometimes, it's, you know, they just, do about it, but it'll take like a long time. Yeah, I'm not talking about literally, you know, a couple of months here. I think, you know, you're talking at least another, you know, 6, 7, 12 months update before. And then when you get the update, say, you know, it's not getting any worse. That's the thing. So there's all different, this is why I like the market. You know, there are certain companies that are rallying, the sectors are rallying. There's certain companies going down, like gaming's are going down. But like I said, there'll always be recovery throughout different sectors at different times. And so just keep your eye on them.
That's
true. Already, house builders, you know, they're starting to rally already. They're now, they're starting to come out a little bit, it seems like. So, but gaming, it's cyclical. A lot of a lot of smaller companies may go to the wall, which will help the other companies, you know.
Yeah, I would rather be in transport and, you know, physical world experiences than virtual ones at the moment.
Oh, what, like transport? Who? Give an example.
Travel as an investor. Travel, not virtual. You know, yeah. Real, not bits and bytes.
Yeah, Chariot Gold raised some money, actually, a discount, 1.7 million. Infinity is saying now, well, this is obvious, Infinity went to the wall, they came back with an order, now they're saying they probably need to raise money. Quiz, by the way, this is a little bit of a play on you know, the online e-coin and stores and retail fashion. The revenue has dropped, you know, EBITDA is two-thirds down, pretty much. They've gone from a EBITDA profit to a loss here, and you can see their cash of net borrowings, they've gone from 9.2 to 3.6. And you've got to think, if they continue at this rate, they're probably going to need to raise money, aren't they?
Because that's interesting. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know that Peter Cowgill was the chairman of Quiz, former chairman. I thought I recognised the name. Former chairman of JD Sports.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, leading the strategic review here.
Yeah, and do you know what? It's interesting because Quiz held up for a while, and even after, you know, Boohoo and Assos sort of fell down, and then all of a sudden they came out with the results and they literally dropped off the cliff.
Yeah, it's funny. I was actually looking at retail this week, just sort of as a matter of interest, and I was looking at B&M and JD Sports, which is got a new ad out, greatest hardcore tunes of all time. What was the other one I was looking at? Next. And if you'd have bought them in October, you'd have doubled your money. These are big companies. And again, it sort of speaks to the fact that that retail, you know, we've seen ASOS, Boohoo, Quiz struggling, the online-only guys. The ones that have shops are doing okay.
Yeah,
than okay. Better than okay.
Okay. I know there is Elson says random question. I know there is an ISA millionaire, but has there ever been an announcement of an ISA billionaire or centre millionaire? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
There we are. Steve says, guys, what are your thoughts on diversified energy going into a dual listing? Do you see that as a positive move? I'm not over the company, but generally,
where is it?
Yeah, well, let's have a look at where it is. I don't know where it is, but they say. This is the front page. Diversified. If it's a bigger capital market, then it's pretty quite good, I suppose. But who knows? That's not the market cap. But where they do a listing then? If it's in the US, New York, there we are.
There you go. Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, because it is, because you know, there's always these complaints about Shell not being, you know, valued as highly as ExxonMobil, all the majors out there. So maybe it'll help their valuation. Who knows? Yeah,
deeper pool of capital over in the US.
Saying that though, Shell are listed on the New York Stock Exchange, but they're still undervalued compared to Exxon. So I don't know how that works. Why is that? It's odd, isn't it? Really? But you know,
it's just the structure of the business.
But they are. These are based in America, aren't they? It's across America, so I mean, it would make more sense, I think.
Yeah.
Have you seen any more company news, John?
Actually, there's a couple of bits of news out today that I thought was quite interesting. Solid State.
I saw that. Solid.
And their chart on that is phenomenal. So they've got some half-year results. So they're basically they're a sort of component manufacturer and then systems, you know, subsystems manufacturer. Yeah. Manufacturer. They sort of pull it all together into these subsystems across various bits of the electronics industry. But it's sort of a lot of it's a ruggedized stuff. So it will be for, you know, heavy use applications, a lot of defense stuff. The numbers are fantastic. And the chart is I mean, it's spectacular.
Yeah, it's good. It's rally there, and he's now in a little bit of a range. He's breaking above that level, yeah. But that's, it's had a good rally.
Really good numbers today. And they're up about 4.5% today.
Yeah, but do you know what I was looking at when I held Ilika?
Someone
doubled pretty much, and they said someone said if he looked into Solly, and I didn't because I don't need another sort of battery player because I doubled. And
They were not a just a battery player. I mean, they don't, you know, they will pull make battery packs for certain applications. And also you had a couple of CML had some numbers today which were not quite as punishable. Again, this makes chips. But the other one that I thought was interesting was Gugen Hausko.
They're supplying industrial and defence markets with durable mm-hmm. components. Oh, that's going to hold up very well, isn't it?
I would have thought so. Yeah, I would have thought so.
This environment, the world we're in at the moment. CML, 58.
These numbers were not quite as nice.
I don't understand the value here. I don't understand. Yeah, it's been highly valued for a long time.
The value of this has been
shot up.
It's been a property play. They've got a big bit of property in Essex that they're basically trying to sell off a development. It's HQ, Oval Park. He used to live around the corner to it. There's been a bit, you know, it's like a value play, you know. What are Simon Thompson's bargain shares, this one? But the one I thought was
bargain shares.
Bargain shares, yeah. Well, as I say, because there's this sort of hidden book value in this property. In the assets.
Okay, let's look at the net assets of, 42 million, isn't it? 50 million. The market cap is what?
Where's the market cap in terms of it's a good trading company as well. I mean, the company, the other results I looked at were Gugen Hausko, which I thought were pretty good.
What's the ticker there?
GHH.
GHH.
Full years.
What a technology business headquartered in Ilminster, Somerset. You get operations US, world leading optical designing, optics, testing, and manufacturing. We work with OEM customers worldwide providing optical solutions. So, the results for the year. In fact, what's the market cap? 132 is the market cap there. Results for the year. Oh, well, they're on one time sales. So, there we are. Oh, I'm profitable. Five million profit. Net debt of 21 million.
I don't mind companies
net debt of 31 million. Sorry.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time, this company. I don't mind a bit of debt. I mean, if you actually look at what it does, I mean, again, it's in a bit of a sweet spot at the moment. You would think that sort of precision lens, precision optics, you know, targeting lasers. It's
lasers.
Yeah, it does. It was working on sort of directed energy weapons.
You can see there, we've got a big fall off. Look at that. Down the chart, let's get rid of let's recover the 50s. You can see. Look at that. Since September 2021, it crossed 200 moving average. Mm. It's come all the way down, low here in December last year. It's a series of little, higher low, broke 200 a day. It's come back down. And I was trying to. It's still above that. It's not, that low.
But I think a lot of these sort of companies, you know, Solid State, Gooch, CMO, they're kind of dull in a sort. Yeah. they're very technical. You know.
Yeah, I don't mind dull as long as if it makes the earnings predictable, that's quite good. Dull in that respect, I don't mind that. But sometimes I have to be excited about a company.
Yeah, but it's a specialist, highly specialist engineering, and you know, probably would get engineers excited.
There we are.
I like these companies. There was a theme. It just sort of jumped out at me. A little theme going on behind these today.
Okay, all right. What else? By the way, Velocis has had a lot of trouble funding recently. Recommended cash acquisition. Here we go. Let's share the screen here. 25p or 0.25. Which is slightly above where they are now, but they've run into a cash issue there. This is maybe a bit of do they take them private or what? I don't know. But Angle. Anything else there? Nothing else really there. Is there anyone? So comments? Anyone?
I'm interested to see Rolls Royce there, Mike's most followed again as well. Just on that.
Is gold just keeping up with inflation? I don't know. Dagger, which sector do you think is going to be most buoyant in 2024? Do you know what? I think looking at some leisure sectors, in fact, Marston has come out with some news today, which is
pub companies. I mean, they're not terrible, but they're not great. I mean, you know, pub groups still a bit tough out there for.
But they said what I quite liked. What I quite liked here. They said that people are booking, and this oddly, I was listening to Radio 5 Live, a few weeks back, and there's a lady on there, and she's like in charge of 20 pubs in Scotland, eateries, pubs, foodie pubs, and she said people are booking well ahead for Christmas, and this is exactly what Marston's are saying, and. You can see basically the top line's gone down a little bit and the profit has gone down from what?
No, it's up a little bit. PBT is that total? Oh, no, sorry. Underlying, yeah.
Sorry. But no cash flow. But they do say down here Christmas bookings tracking well ahead of last year. And they're saying it's not looking too bad. So
last year, am I right in remembering it was horrendous. There were strikes left, right, and centre.
Yes,
Well, so there was sort of still the lingering after effects of COVID as well. Which,
yes, and in fact, at the chart, they're awful. But maybe, but if you look at the sectors, I think honestly, this, and in fact, I talked about yesterday about XP Factory, which has been hammered. I don't know why, but you don't worry about leisure and all that. But I think sectors like that, good companies in these leisure sectors could do very well. And in fact, maybe even retail, maybe e-com, you know? I don't know, maybe Boohoo and Asos on that rally. Who knows? Because there's a lot of worry about that. They've been hammered down. It's just basically a case of looking at sectors that have been hammered, you know, constantly.
One of the problems with pub groups in particular is that they tend to have a very large amount of debt on their balance sheets. And just looking at Masters, its net debt is $1.6 billion.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
So, you know, it's even bigger than SSP, which is a considerably larger company. So that is the problem. That is the problem with pubs. Same with JD Weatherspoon.
They got 1.5 long-term, $1.5 billion, and 66 for your short-term borrowings.
Yeah, so what you tend to, I mean, there will be, you know, these are sectors. There's always consolidation in the pub sector. We saw someone recently, City Pub is being taken out.
Yeah.
That's what I would expect in the pumps industry. That's where I expect to see consolidation.
Okay, let's look at some business news here. This is the PMIs, our services sector rebounded, grew in November, first time in 3 months.
Pretty growth.
Declines, it's up above 50.9 from 49.5 in October, above the 50, which is quite good. UK grocery inflation slows again, which is nice. And look at this, John. Researchers said the average cost of a frozen turkey Christmas dinner for four with all the trimmings, Christmas pudding and sparkling wine, was up 1.3%, that's all, to £31.7, with Brussels sprouts and the pudding cheaper year on year. So sprouts and Christmas pudding are cheaper. That's because no one likes them. Really?
Yeah. It's not a lot of wine. There's not a lot of wine budget there.
No, I was thinking that. Yeah. There's like one bottle for the entire family.
Yeah.
So that's not going to get a good argument going, is it?
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, but that's surprising. I don't know where they're getting that from, Kantar, this is. But that's a turkey Christmas dinner for four with all the trimmings, Christmas pudding, sparkling wine, £31. Really? I can't see that being that much of a nice Christmas dinner. £31?
Is
that from Iceland?
That's from Iceland.
Anyway, I just planned for Marston's there, saying that Peel Hunt analyst wrote a note that the companies continue to outperform the market, adding that energy costs and significant proportion of food and drink costs were fixed for the current fiscal year.
That tells you a lot about what you need to do to be a successful operator in the pubs industry, and that is keep a very, very tight lid on absolutely everything in the business. It's a sector that is all about operational execution.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Gregory, any bad companies call themselves Oxford? I know Gregory's a big fan of Oxford Biodynamics. So, Oxford Metrics. They do use
Oxford Instruments,
you
know, Oxford Nanopore. Yeah.
I know. They do use Oxford because they know a good tech breeding ground, all that stuff. People need to use products. Oxford.
I do remember, and I can't remember what the actual company was called, but some years ago, well known, a stock promoter was involved in an IPO of a company called, that used Oxford as its and it did seem that if you put Oxford in front of any company name that you would
it wasn't based in Oxford, was it?
No, it was technology comes out of Oxford. It's just
the company this guy was using.
I think it was, but I felt it was quite cynical at the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you could do. I mean, I assume there are companies out there not based strictly in Oxford using the name Oxford. You know, because. And Cambridge is using one of it as well, but
Cambridge Cognition.
Omega Diagnostics are now called Cambridge Nutrition, I think.
Cambridge Nutrition, there you go. You buy me amplifiers of Cambridge Audio, they're actually quite good.
Marvelous stuff. Have you bought any more stocks, John, recently or not?
No, I'm still eyeing a few up.
Yeah, that's plenty of time, isn't it? This is a good thing about the bear market. You just sit there and you can watch. And just, you know, in fact, in a couple of days' time, future PLC results are out. They've been downgraded by Jefferies recently, but at £7.30. But there are a few other brokers who see doubling. How can you get that? How can you get, you know, four or five different analysts, and one analyst is completely different to the other four? You're thinking, how does that work out? Because you're all looking at the same figures. They're all giving you trading updates that are exactly the same. What are you seeing that the other analysts are not seeing? But no. I mean, what you can do, I mean, I'd say, you know, if you like a company, it's almost like just having patience. Wait for the final financial results to come out, because that's warts and all, and then have a look after that. And because you can find it can get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And, you know, if they're not hitting anything, literally is not in line with, if it's slightly below, you can get hammered, you know, anything. So you can take your time, can't you? Patience is the thing, isn't it, you know?
It is. It is.
Lovely stuff. We've had two Daftus. I can't say the name. Daftus Cluck is the name there. Yes, but there we are. Thank you for watching, everyone. Don't forget, please hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. It would help us hit that target of 5,000 by year end. We'll get close to it. Maybe you have to just get close to it. And also hit the like button if you could, and share it. And the Vox Markets app, finally, is free to download and use. All you need is a verified email address, and you can follow companies, and you get sent RNSs straight to the front screen of your phone whenever that company releases news. Thanks, Johnny, and speak to you on Friday, buddy.
See you Friday.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.